Good day, everybody. I will call the CROG Transportation Committee meeting for February 26, 2024 to order. The roll call will be done electronically. We'll move on to public forum. Is there anyone from the public that wishes to address the committee at this time? Again, is there anyone from the public that wishes to address the committee?
I see a hand up.
Yep, John, there is a hand up.
There is a hand up.
Wait, Demetrius?
Hi, everyone. My name is Dimitri. I'm a Wethersfield resident. I'm part of a group called Connecticut Urbanists. I wanted to talk about one of the items, bus stop enhancement program by Connecticut DOT. We've basically been building benches in Hartford. We have 23 benches in Connecticut transit stops throughout Hartford. Most of these are at locations where you guys proposed facilities through the Metro Routes study. 8 of these locations were not considered part of the Metro Routes study. We've approached Department of Public Works. We've had a meeting with them, and we're basically requesting the city to consider replacing our benches with actual benches through the bus stop enhancement program for the locations that we have benches at. So I would like to talk to you more on this, and
Fair would be appropriate for him to meet with the members of the staff.
Yeah, you can. I think you've got my email through Jacob. So yeah, definitely feel free to reach out and we can set up a discussion.
Okay, that sounds great.
Thank you for your comments.
Anyone else wish to address the committee at this time? Seeing none, we will close the public forum and move on to adoption of the minutes of our January 22nd meeting, 2024. And I would entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
So moved, Eric Anderson, Town of Andover.
Second, Chris Edge, Town of Berlin.
Thank you, gentlemen. Any corrections, deletions, amendments? Hearing none, all in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? And abstentions again, please, your name and town.
Dave Smith, Vernon, abstain.
Thank you, Dave.
Donald News, Town of Enfield.
That's two. Any more? Thank you, folks. The minutes are approved as distributed. Move on to item number four, the staff reports. And the first one will be by Roger on 60 Seconds for Safety and the Vision Zero program and the Road Safety Summit. Roger?
Thank you, John. So the state legislature, under their Vision Zero Act, had created a dictated that DOT would create a program of distinction for schools. And DOT has a program developed under their Safe Routes for School program. I just provided in the memo there some information that's from their website. If you go to that website, they have an application form. So I just wanted to share that. Their coordinator is Kristen Levesque. And if you want to reach out to her with any other questions, but if you want to share with educators in your towns, I just wanted to share that. Secondly, next slide would be our an announcement by UConn T2 Center issued this on behalf of Connecticut DOT. There is a road safety summit being held on Thursday, May 30th at CCSU. It's an all-day summit focused on speed, which I think is a good topic since speed covers both the road, the user, and the facility and vehicle aspects of roadway safety. So if you're interested in signing up, the information is there, the QR code or the link to the UConn T2 Center website to sign up for that. It's free. Sounds like a good seminar. And then that's all I had under the 60 seconds for safety. John, I'll just move on to the next one right away, if that's okay.
Sounds good to me, Roger.
Farmington area connectivity study. This is one of the study projects that is in our UPWP program, and we have been working CROG staff with the selected consultant SLR and the town of Farmington developing this connectivity study, which is basically looking into the traffic analysis related to the extension of Monteith Drive over the Farmington River over to New Britain Avenue, as shown in that graphic on the top right. So it'd be a new bridge over the Farmington River. The emphasis was on the traffic modeling of intersections in the area. We also did outreach to various stakeholder groups, and we have a draft final report that is on our website. It's open for public comment. We're asking for comments to be returned by March 18th. And then we hope to wrap up address any comments that need to be incorporated into the report and get that report finalized in the next month or two. So feel free to offer any comments to me. Thank you.
Roger, any questions for Roger? Okay, moving on, BIL, IJA, Elizabeth.
Okay, thanks. Couple updates. We just want to reiterate that the bridge investment program is still open for the project phase. So the capital project phase, the planning grants closed about a week ago. They're still accepting applications until March 19th, USDOT's accepting the applications. Then the bridges and culverts would need to be listed in the National Bridge Inventory and rated in fair or poor condition, and looking at improving the infrastructure over the next few years. So 3 years, I believe, is that. So these are projects under $100 million. And if you're interested in applying and you'd like some assistance or even just a letter of support, let us know and we can help you with that. The next point here is about the RAISE grant. So the applications are due February 28th. As you may remember, CROG is applying for Berlin Turnpike, a planning grant for the a transportation study of the corridor and looking at potential connections for in Hartford and Meriden for a multi-use trail system. And we're also assisting some of our towns and the University of Connecticut. So Town of Farmington and UConn are also applying. Here's a little reminder about Connecticut DEP's recreational trails program. Applications are due March 11th for that. And if you would like a letter of support or assistance, feel free to reach out and we can review that. Probably later this week would be great. I'm trying to get through the RAISE deadline, February 28th, myself here. But and then next slide. Breaking news is Safe Streets and Roads for All Round 3 was announced last week. This year, they're breaking out, still having the two types of applications, the implementation grant, which is more that capital project type of anything that's addressing a known safety issue, identified safety issue that's cited in an action plan. So those are the implementation grants, the deadline May 16th. And then this year they're doing three rounds of planning and demonstration grants. And the first round is April 4th, coming up fast. May 16th and August 29th are also additional rounds. And they've said that if you apply in April but aren't awarded, then your application will automatically be considered for the other round. So the May 16th and August 29th round of that planning and demonstration grants. Another important point is the staggering deadlines is really so that anybody who applied for an implementation grant by the May 16th deadline would still have time to apply for planning a demonstration grant. So maybe revising the application a little bit to meet the planning and demonstration grant type, but there was still time to apply for that before the August 29th deadline. So there's some more flexibility in the way this is structured is basically what I'm gathering. But again, you know, implementation projects must implement projects and strategies that are identified in an action plan. And if you're not sure if your action plan or our action plan, we've been using the Regional Transportation Safety Plan. If we're not sure if it's eligible for an implementation grant, they are offering the opportunity to review. So by April 17th, we could submit our RTSP to see if it's eligible to serve as the basis for these implementation grants, or if your town has your own documents that you would want to review to see if that would meet the eligibility threshold for a comprehensive safety action plan. Then that's that deadline, April 17th. And then some information below about the planning and demonstration grants. Just wanted to point out too that this is $1.2 billion for the program total, and they are able to issue $580 million for implementation grants, and the remainder $656 million for planning and demonstration grants. So this is a lot of money available. Obviously, it's nationwide, so it's a competitive grant process, but still quite a good. Pot of money. And one of my understanding is planning and demonstration grant applications, unless your application is incomplete, most of them are very successful in receiving awards. And then the last thing I wanted to say about SS4A is about the upcoming webinars. So there are three webinars coming up next week and the week after. And I can, in the chat, hopefully I can just add some links to register for those webinars. There's one on the action plans, which is one of the planning and demonstration grant types. And there's a second webinar on planning and demonstration activities, like that supplemental planning activities or the demonstration activities. Those are the webinars that are next week, March 7th and 8th. And then March 13th is a webinar on implementation grants. And then just generally reminders, I'm going to put hopefully in the chat, there's a link to key funding opportunities, the USDOT schedule for 2024 opportunities, just so you'll have reference to that. And mentioning the tools for rural communities, there are special tools available. So I'll hopefully be able to drop that in the chat. And then lastly, pointing out that Ryan Faulkner with our GIS team has developed a discretionary grant awards map of awards that were or grants that were discretionary grants that were awarded in our region up until about November of last November 23. So it's a little outdated just because the data we have is a little outdated, but it's a good reference if you're interested to see what others are doing to apply, you know, for future rounds. You can get a good idea of what applications have been awarded. So I'll put the link to that map and then a summary memorandum in the chat as well. And if there's any questions, I know that was a lot, but we'll be providing more information about Safe Streets and Roads for All, similarly to what we did last year with a grant application outline that you can use maybe an upcoming workshop as well to get you what you need to apply. So thank you. Any questions?
Thank you, Elizabeth. Any questions for Elizabeth? Okay, moving along to the next three. Are you, Kara?
Great, thanks, John. So first up is, I think a lot of people have probably heard about this already, but CROG staff, our offices, will be moving next month. So we'll still be in Hartford. Our new office will be in the Metro Center. So we have a memo in the mailing that includes directions and addresses for both the garage and for the front door. We've included directions by car, but we're also going to be really close to Union Station and a lot of the bus routes. So people are welcome to take alternative modes to get to the new office as well. So we'll be moving the middle of March.
And our next meeting is hybrid for transportation committees.
So we're going to, Rob, we've got an action item regarding that schedule change.
Oh, okay.
The agenda.
Can I ask a question?
I jumped the gun there.
All right. What's up, Patrice?
Is there a charge to park in the garage?
So we will be validating for committee members who are coming to Prague for Prague business. It is worth noting there is a surface parking lot next to Metro Center that is not where we can validate for. There's a physical garage attached to the building, and that is where folks should park to get the validation from us.
Thank you. Thanks.
Absolutely.
Okay, bus stops.
All right, so next up is the DOT bus stop enhancement program. Included in the packet was this memo. DOT is still working to roll out this statewide bus stop enhancement program. The step that they're on right now is looking to get municipalities to complete a survey related to maintenance. Because as part of this program, when the full thing rolls out, any shelters implemented as part of this program will only be implemented if there is a maintenance agreement in place or a maintenance commitment in place from the municipality. So DOT is working to get a better understanding of kind of how maintenance is handled right now. So there is a survey link here. I'll throw it in the chat as well when I'm done. But we encourage everybody to please fill that out. DOT has requested it by April 1st, but sooner than later would be appreciated. And if you're not the right person on this call to do it, if you could share it with the right person in your municipality, that would be helpful. And there will be, in future meetings, we'll be having conversations about kind of location prioritization and things like that. We are still awaiting additional guidance from DOT relating to that piece.
Can I just ask a quick question, Kara?
Of course.
So you're implying that the municipalities are now going to have to maintain the DOT fast track locations and the DOT bus stops? Is that the case?
So fast track is kind of a separate animal. But for a very small group of exceptions, municipalities are currently required to be maintaining their shelters. There are a handful of municipalities that have agreements with the department for maintenance to be done by DOT and their staff, but it is currently a municipal responsibility, with the exception of the fast track guideway and some of the park and ride lots that are DOT owned property. And which is why there has been some inconsistencies with the maintenance of shelters.
Okay, I can certainly tell you, as a town, we were unaware that we were even supposed to be responsible for maintaining those shelters.
So do you just have someone to park in park and rides, right?
Yeah, we have a park and ride.
So DOT might be maintaining yours. Potentially. This is focused not exclusively on the fixed route local service, but I think a lot of this program will be on that. Obviously, commuter routes will be eligible as well. But there is an expectation that any shelters, any new shelters or new assets that came in under this, that are to be constructed under this program, would be the responsibility of their town.
So, asking in similar vein to Eric, we have one as well in a park and ride lot. How do we know that we're supposed to be maintaining that? If we are?
We can double check for you. Okay. But I think it's one of those.
Can you do the same for us? Because we've never touched it.
Yeah, let me reach out just kind of in a general question of, especially as it relates to all the park and rides, getting clarification that DOT is maintaining at least those. Now, and then, like I said, we have a handful of towns that I know have agreements for some of the fixed route locations. But let me make a note.
It's interesting that you mentioned the park and rides, because we have one where the bus passenger shelter is outward facing to the street at the fence line, and we're required to maintain that on a state road with a state commuter parking lot behind it.
So that's interesting.
It was actually the structure was hit by a car. There was an insurance claim where we got money to replace the shelter. We, the town, got money to replace the shelter on state land, or maybe on the right of way. It's probably on the right of way, next to a state commuter parking lot, which essentially it's part of. You know, it's DOT does not like to keep the maintenance of things. They will give you money to fix things or to make something new, and they absolutely want to write off the maintenance to the local communities. We'll get back to the same point where we're at now if they don't take over the maintenance.
Yeah, it's a struggle. And I think that the feedback that we have heard from the department kind of generally about this topic is, in a lot of other states, municipalities pay directly into the transit service. And then that transit operator also takes over the maintenance. That's not the setup in Connecticut. So I think as a result, DOT has taken the approach of having the towns maintain the shelters as sort of an in-kind contribution. But it's definitely something we can follow up with them on. And I think that the concern that the department has with this new shelter program or the bus stop enhancement program is they don't want to put all these new assets out on the street and then have them not maintained. PROG is also going to be looking into the possibility of a regional bid for shelter maintenance. It's a conversation I need to have with our municipal services department, because that's outside of my area of expertise. But trying to find alternative options to make this work.
I don't believe that it should be a local requirement to install, maintain, repair, replace the bus passenger shelters. These are regional resources. It's a regional bus service. It occurs within our communities, and then it's an unfunded mandate put onto the communities to take care of them.
Tara, isn't it also true in those states that have those different arrangements, the municipalities have a much greater say in the level and type of service?
Yes. It's a fundamentally different setup. But it's one of those that keeps being cited when it's discussed with the department.
We have no say in the level of service.
Right. So we have a, we are anticipating hearing more. We have our monthly COG DOT coordination meeting next week. We haven't seen the agenda yet, but we were told that this was going to be on it. So assuming that that is the case, we should know more moving forward. But so what this survey, the questions on this one specifically, is just sort of asking, what are you doing now? And I do think there's potentially places within the survey to include your feedback along these lines as well. And I encourage everyone to do so. We'll take the conversation to them as well. But I think if they hear feedback kind of broadly, it never hurts.
This is Kevin Tedesco from the DOT. Hey, Kevin. How are you? I just want to make sure this would be a voluntary program, right? You don't have to opt into this. This is if you want shelters, you can sign up and try to get some. But again, more details will be coming out.
Yeah, so that would be for any new assets under this program. That it sounds like some folks have some concerns about existing assets as well, which is a little bit separate from this. So I think it's kind of a two-pronged conversation.
Yeah, I do believe there is some wiggle room for rehabbing old within this program. But I'll double check and we have our meeting next week. So
okay.
We should get more info out.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Kevin.
So Tara, the inventory or the survey says, please reach out to your COG or transit district to see if they have updated shelter inventories that may assist you.
So we do not have that.
Are you going to reach out to CT Transit and get the inventory that they may or may not have?
We could.
Instead of every single one of us reaching out to the transit and just peppering them with requests, maybe one for the region would be a lot better.
Will do. Any other questions or discussion on this item? Like I said, this will be on the agendas probably the next handful of months as more information comes out and as we both gather information from these questions that we've heard today, as well as getting the additional information from the department that will be coming out.
Okay, moving on, Kara.
Great. So then the next item is kind of a save the date type of a thing. You might recall that last year, each of the municipalities completed a municipal ADA compliance survey. DOT was successful in getting all 169 towns to complete that survey. So they have been analyzing that data and are, rather than having individual conversations with every single municipality, they're going to be convening conversations by COG. So ours is tentatively scheduled for March 27th at 2 p.m. as a virtual meeting. So it'll go over the results of that compliance survey, as well as sort of next steps. We're hearing that there is some possibility for some funding at the statewide level because, as we mentioned, unfunded mandates a minute ago, ADA transition planning is another one of those. So but my understanding is that there is kind of some recognition of that and there is a plan to move forward. So we'll be getting some more information about exactly what that entails at that meeting. DOT will be setting that up. And as soon as we have the kind of final information, we will share that as well. They're going to be including some guidance on kind of what folks from each town would be helpful to have at that, be it human services or other departments that do the ADA planning.
Thank you, Kara. Any questions on that? Okay, Rob, Greater Hartford Mobility Study.
Yeah, thank you, John. Last month, we alluded to this, that DOT had recently completed and issued a final report, which was a bit interesting to us because there was no draft report, but it seems that that's okay in a PEL document, a planning and environmental linkage document, where all these items are going to have to go. This is a higher level study. It's for the whole region, and all these items will have to individually advance through their own public outreach and things of that nature. So this was dropped as a final report, but we would like to, as staff, review this and bring a resolution, hopefully of support, to the to you guys, a draft resolution next month for your consideration. But in order to do so, we thought we had to dig into the details and help everybody here dig into the details also on what this document contains, because it's a very large document. There are 12 appendices. It is at hartfordmobility.com. You can find the document. We have this summary of this memo here. And in the next three pages, you'll see the three bullets, kind of a screenshot of what's also in the next three other three documents. We've posted them all. We're planning on putting them all in the next mailing again, but they are posted just today on this Transportation Committee webpage for this month. And the goal with that is to get comments over to DOT before our next Transportation Committee meeting, any comments or questions towns have and that CROG has to them soon, so that they can answer any questions we have before we act on any kind of a resolution. So this is the memo. When you go to the documents, there's three main documents on the webpage that I just want to highlight. The final PEL report, which is not real long. It's about 80 pages. It mainly focuses on the four major core components of the study, which are big improvements to the rail, to the highways, and to bike ped and bus transit in the Hartford area, specifically in Hartford and East Hartford. And some of you probably have seen presentations on that. We gave a brief presentation a couple months ago on that. But this is the actual final document. And you can find a lot of some of those details, kind of an overview of that in the final PEL report. The details are really not even in Appendix L, which outlines what actually is recommended and the timeframes in the implementation plan, which is Appendix L. But there's also an Appendix J, which has the fine details of every project. One caveat with Appendix J is not all those moved into the recommendation plan of Appendix L. It was more an alternatives analysis, Appendix J, but that's where all the details reside on all the alternatives. So it's a little confusing, and we have comments on that actually in our comments that we've drafted up already for DOT, that kind of the format is a bit confusing for folks, but we tried to make it easier with this next item on this next page called our Greater Hartford Mobility Study Project List, which we did. We came up with this spreadsheet, which is sortable on municipalities, on timeframes, on all these columns here, where you can sort and find what projects are in your town. Now, this is just a screenshot. The actual list is 66 projects long. So it's an attempt to summarize things and to point you to where in the document any of these reside. So really you just get, you know, a project title, brief description. But if you go to column I, it gives you the I and J, give you the page number in Appendix J as to where to find the details on that improvement. And it can get pretty confusing because they used Roman numerals out to over almost 500 pages. But J has the actual PDF page number in it. So it gets kind of comical when you get into the hundreds of pages with Roman numerals, but that's just an aside. So we did not do a deep dive on every one of these 66 projects. We, as staff, focused on the four main components and did a deep dive on those. Although we did look through these and saw if there were any major hiccups, and those are in yellow here. Things that were inconsistencies or didn't have enough information. And as you'll see in a later document, we've commented on those with questions to DOT, which will go out soon. Next page. This is our, if you look at the top row and you see the colors of CityLink East, CityLink West, River Gateway, Founders Gateway, these are the four main projects that were in the Greater Hartford Mobility Study, those core projects that I spoke about earlier. And in the mobility study, they're broken out even into more projects, as you can see from all the columns here. Now, we prepared this analysis and we color-coded it against the needs that are identified in our Metropolitan Transportation Plan. So we tried to color-code it, whether it met the need whether it, you know, was a moderate benefit, neutral benefit, or a negative impact on that issue. Now, this actual PDF is a lot has a lot more rows than this. It's actually three of these pages long, but it is posted in the today's TC meeting webpage. And we tried, and I guess the only thing I would point, the main things I would point out for this is I would highlight that not each one of these independent projects as they're built, these all won't be built together. They'll be built one at a time. They'll go through their own NEPA process and they'll be constructed one at a time. And DOT is aiming first to do the one on the, let me see, the Route 2. Let's see where it is. It's the first column. The I-91 Route 2 connection is one of the first ones that DOT is going after. They've also put a discretionary grant in for tapping 91, which is one of the columns under the Red River Gateway. So that is really put in dependent on if they get the award, but really they're going to move ahead with that first column regardless. So I guess the thing I'd point out with this is the full build, when you look away over on the right, you get a lot of green. So if everything's built, yes, you get a great benefit for the region on many different levels. But individually, the projects all vary as to what they complete. And they're all sort of interconnected in a way. Some you can only do after the other one's done. So it's a very complex puzzle of how this could get implemented. And of course, there always is a chance that that many of these actions do move forward and some don't, depending on funding. So there is no guarantee of the full build, but this tries to summarize it as best we could. So let's go to the next slide. These are staff comments. We have additional ones. It doesn't show all of them, but this is what we've commented on. I think we only have maybe it's 14 comments or so at this time. What we're going to do is submit this to CONDA in 2 weeks, but we're asking if anybody has additional comments to make, if you look at your town's projects and see any inconsistencies or problems or comments you'd like to make, if you could send them to us by, let's see, March 4th, as detailed in the first memo, we'd be happy to include them in this listing over to CONDOT for their potential response before we act on any kind of resolution. So I'm not going to go through these comments. There are a lot of them deal with the complexities of how to review things. Yeah, it's a big project, so you know it's going to be complex no matter what. But you know we've tried to simplify it as best we can here. And do we have another slide, or is that our final slide? I think that's our final one, correct?
It is the final slide, yes.
So I'd welcome any questions. Chris, maybe you can go back up to the memo, just, you know, 2-3 back. So this, once again, just to summarize, we have the memo and these three other documents attached to this Transportation Committee webpage. And if you have more comments, get them to us by March 4th, and we're going to send them over to DOT and hope that we get some great responses before we bring any kind of resolution of support to you in March 25th. So I know that's a lot of information, but it's a massive project. I hope I didn't confuse you more than help you. If you have any questions, let me know.
Thank you, Rob. Questions for Rob?
I think everybody's anxious to hear the next item is what's happening, John.
No, I think the real question, Rob, is, you know, what's the probability that this will eventually happen?
I'm going to need to, yeah, that's, I don't have a crystal ball. I don't, you know, it's a lot of the whole thing in total. I've heard numbers varying from 12 to 14 billion. So it's a lot of money. It depends on, you know, going down the line where the pressure is politically, whether or not that kind of investment is spent in the Hartford area versus other parts of the state. You know, it's a multi-year thing, so it's not going to be decided today. It's going to be decided the midpoint of construction. They did calculations on construction costs is 2035. So where you know motivations are by that time, it's all. But there's a plan. That's the good thing. There's a plan. You're not going to get it done if there's not a plan, and so there is a plan. There's a chance.
That's a good positive approach. Any other comments or questions at this time? I'm sure there'll be many going forward. All right, lots of project solicitation.
Okay, thank you, John. Good afternoon, everybody. So we had the solicitation applications due last week, last Wednesday at 2:00. So we received 19 projects from 15 different municipalities. So a couple of municipalities submitted 2 projects. And the solicitation was for $42 million, and we received a little over $40 million. So I think that's good news, but we do need time to review the projects for eligibility. And also we'd like to review all the cost estimates. As you know, sometimes the cost estimates need to be reviewed. And so we anticipate that we'll hit the $42 million mark, which was what the solicitation was for. And we should have a listing of projects for you next month. Any questions?
Thank you, Satoria. That's great. All right. Chris? FDA Section 5310.
Yes, good afternoon, everybody. I'd just like to let everyone know the Section 5310 applications are now available at the Connecticut Contracting Portal. We're doing traditional and non-traditional applications being accepted this time around. The applications are due on Tuesday, April 2nd, by 4 p.m. And if you'd like more information, you go to ct.gov/dot/5310.
Thank you, sir. Any other questions for Chris? Okay, under other, Sarah, you're in the Transportation Alternatives Program solicitation.
I am. And then just quickly going back to the bus stop item for 1 second, I did just put in the chat, one of our towns had put in an inquiry to DOT related to the inventory and had gotten a report back. So I quickly threw that on our website in a way that was accessible. You can click the link in the chat. That list does seem to be missing at least some of the park and ride lots, and I don't see any listed in Berlin. So I'm still going to follow up with DOT, but it seems to be helpful in some of the more densely sheltered areas, and includes who owns the shelter and who's responsible for maintaining it for it's 630 some odd shelter locations throughout the state on there. But again, we'll still follow up as well. So for this item, we recently got word from DOT that there's a new solicitation opening for the Transportation Alternatives Program, TA. So as a reminder about what this program is, it looks to fund projects that may not be eligible in other category or in other funding sources. So bike ped facilities, turnouts, overlooks, and viewing areas, rec trails, safe routes to school, environmental mitigation for stormwater and habitat connectivity, and vulnerable road user safety assessments. We've most recently seen successful applications mostly on sidewalks and multi-use trail type applications. But what is interesting about this funding source, so as a reminder, it's for a 5-year period, which is why we haven't done it in a while. But it is, the money is allocated by transportation management area. So we will need to coordinate with NVCOG, RiverCOG, and Northwest Hills about sort of how we're going to go about the selection process for this. We have $12.7 million in funding for the Hartford TMA, and we anticipate holding a cost review subcommittee meeting next month to sort of go over a draft proposed solicitation document, hopefully to then get passed by TC at the meeting thereafter in March, to get the solicitation out as soon as we can. We anticipate, based on that schedule, that applications would be due to us in mid-May. Historically, what's been done with this program is we've then had a special meeting where, so our staff would shortlist the applications that come in, and then we have a special meeting to allow that those usually five towns to present to their peers, and then there's a voting system at the special transportation committee meeting. It's a little because there's such a wide variety of eligible projects, we kind of like to give TC members more of a hand in the final ranking of this. But again, we'll have all of that spelled out in a draft for a subcommittee next month. And we're meeting with the other COGs for an initial meeting end of next week to try to sort that out as well.
Super. Thank you. Any questions for Kara on this? Matt will not be able to join us tonight today, so there will not be the executive director update. And so we'll move on to item five, which is TIP amendments. Rob?
Yeah, just one TIP amendment this month. It's for I-691 in Southington, replacing noise barrier. It is underfunded under National Highway Performance Program, which is appropriate. It's just for the final design phase, so it's not a big dollar amount, but it is slipping from fiscal year 24 to fiscal year 25. And because we don't have a 25 TIP yet, it has to show here as FYI, but they have indicated that it would be in fiscal year 25 in their support documents. So we would recommend approval.
Thank you, Robert. Any particular reason why it's slipping?
I do not have the reason, no.
Any questions for Rob? If not, I entertain a motion to approve this TIP and recommend same to the policy group.
So moved, Patrice Carson.
Thank you, Patrice. Is there a second?
Second, Eric Anderson.
Thank you. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? It's unanimous. We will pass it on to the policy board. Okay, Kara, an updated transportation committee meeting schedule.
All right, this is my last one. So Rob mentioned this a little bit earlier. So as we talked about, we are moving in March. The original transportation committee schedule that had been approved back in December had indicated that we would have hybrid meetings in March, June, September, and December. We are proposing an amendment to that schedule to swap the March hybrid meeting to April and hold our March transportation committee meeting virtually, since it will be just a week or so after we move and we're still going to be getting our feet on the ground over in the new location. But since this had been a schedule approved by this committee, we wanted to just get action on that change.
So March virtual, April hybrid?
Yes. And everything else would be the dates would be the same. Everything else on the schedule would remain unchanged, just swap March and April hybrid and virtual.
So the short answer, Patrice, is we can't visit the office till April.
Do you need a motion to change the schedule? Or are you good?
So we did put it on as an action. We kind of went back and forth on whether that was fully necessary, but since there was an action on the original schedule, we figured better to have an official action on it than not.
Sure, I'll move to make the change.
Thank you.
And I will second.
Motion is made and second to appropriately change the meeting schedule. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? It is so carried. Do we need to report this to anybody?
I will have it updated on our website, and I will check with Karen on if we have to send the updated one out to town clerks and such, but okay. We'll take care of that side.
Any other business to come before the committee today?
Make a motion to adjourn.
Is there a second?
Sure, I'll second that one.
Everyone in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Kevin.
Have a great rest of the week, everybody. We'll see you in March.
You too.
Thank you.
Take care, guys.
Bye. Thanks, staff.